You are welcome to our revival series, a series of messages aimed at helping you put your heart right with God, uproot the things that ought not to be in your heart, so that you can have the heart condition that can permit the Lord Jesus Christ to come and take his place on your heart, on the throne of your heart, refresh you, and begin to use you to bless the lives of many. These are not messages aimed at people who have not yet known the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior, but aimed at those who have the Lord Jesus Christ, but who need to uproot certain things in their lives. In part one of the revival series, preparing our hearts so that God can actually come and dwell in our hearts and begin to use us to bless the body of Christ and to touch the world at large. Even if you have not yet known the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it is still possible for you to follow these messages, but the first thing that you need to do is to acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Open your heart, repent of your sins, invite him into your heart, and let him take the first place on your heart. And you will actually start your Christian life by knowing what we are aiming at, a refreshing from the Lord. Open your Bibles with us to Acts of Apostles chapter 3. Acts of the Apostles chapter 3. We'll look at verse 19 and 20. Peter said, "Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." Peter invited the people. He said, repent and turn to God. He said, if you do that, if you repent of your sin and turn to God, a time of refreshing may come, will come. And when that time of refreshing comes, God sent Jesus, and Jesus will come and take his place in your heart. And that's what a revival is, this time of refreshing, where the dryness that was within has been taken away, and then you begin to know a new touch, a new infilling by God, by the Spirit of God. And then the Lord begin to use you and begin to touch life. So revival is actually a visitation from above. But you who has not yet known the Lord, you can actually start your Christian life straight away with what is normally supposed to be the normal life, a life of freshness, a life of refreshing. And if you had known the Lord before, and unfortunately you permitted other things to come into your heart, so that you start witnessing what is called a dryness, you start witnessing a barrenness, you start witnessing as if you are in the desert, this is a call. The revival messages are helping you to uproot the things so that you can be able to say with David, as the deer pants for streams of water, so does my soul pant for you, O Lord. A heart that is normal, a heart that is longing for God, a heart that desires God, a heart that constantly wants to be in the presence of God, a heart that constantly wants to give the first place to God. That is actually a revived heart. But you can start your Christian life straight away with this normal heart, a heart that is longing, a heart that knows what David called the joy of salvation. You can start your Christian life straight away, invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart, repent of your sin. He says, a time of refreshing, a new freshness, a new encounter, a new joy, a new passion, a new love for God, and a new hatred for sin. That is what a normal Christian life is. You can start your life straight away like a new Christian who has truly encountered the Lord. And in our message today, we are looking at freedom from debt. We have been looking at freedom, how we can know freedom, separation from certain things that actually hinders the Lord from coming to take his first place in the heart. And today we are looking at freedom from death. We are going to look at an example of a prophet in the Bible that had a problem with death, and then so that we can be able to understand what is this death we are talking about. So let's look at the example of a debtor in the Bible from the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. Just 2 Kings chapter 4, and we'll look only at verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 4, read with us. He said, the wife of a man from the company of the prophet cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two sons as slaves." He was a prophet. And as a prophet, he did something that was abnormal. He started borrowing from all over. Then after a time, he died. He died without having paid his debts. And then his creditors came. The creditors came to do what? Say they wanted to take his two sons, the two sons of this lady, as slaves. And that's why the lady cried to the man of God. My husband died. My husband used to fear God. Unfortunately, he used to fear God, but he was a debtor. He did not know the life of discipline that could say no to borrowing from all over the place. Likely he may have borrowed, and then he may have kept the property, all the properties of the home as surety, to the extent that the creditor took all those properties, and they were not yet, no, they were still not enough. And finally, he wanted to take the two sons as slave. So he was a debtor. He was a debtor. What is a debt? A debt is money or anything you owe. It is whatever you owe, it is what you owe. It is what you owe someone. The person who owes someone is called a debtor. It is what you owe people that brings you to the point of an obligation. You are under obligation to pay something to someone because you took money from someone, you took a property from someone, you took a car from someone, and you need to pay something back. It makes you a debtor. So the prophet here had borrowed money, and then he died without paying. He had borrowed money, and then he died without paying. Because a debt makes you a slave. A debt means that you can actually lose everything you have. It is not just in that place in the Bible. If you look with us again in the book of Job, chapter 24, you will see that if you begin to enter into debt, you can even lose your children. Your children can become slaves. We are going to read that verse to us, the book of Job, chapter 24, verse 9. What does it say? "The fatherless child is snatched from the breast. The infant of the poor is seized for a debt." So your child can be taken away, can become a slave. You can become a slave just because you borrowed money from all over the place. And the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs chapter 20, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender." Debt enslaves you. You become a slave. Debt is the violation of the scripture that says, "Owe no man anything except the continuing love, the continued debt of loving one another." We are going to read that verse. Let's open to Romans chapter 13. So debt is a violation of scripture, because the Bible is very, very clear: "Owe no man anything." But there is something you should owe people. Romans chapter 13, verse 7 and 8. We're going to read. So we are looking at freedom from debt. And we say a debt is what you owe somebody. Money that you owe somebody. Whatever obligation you have towards someone that you need to pay back makes you a debtor. Verse 7 says, give to everyone that you owe them. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. You owe revenue, then revenue. If you owe respect, then respect. If you owe honor, then honor. Verse 8 says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. So here we actually see what we can owe people. You can owe taxes. You can owe money, you can owe respect, you can owe honor, you can owe me. There are many things that we can owe people. But the Bible tells us there is just one thing that we should not, there's one outstanding debt that we must always owe people. It is called the continuous debt of loving one another. So here we see that we may owe taxes, we may owe respect, we may owe honor, you may owe your employers, or you owe your employers the work that they are paying you to do. If you are receiving salary anyway, you are a debtor. You owe the people the right work. You owe the people quality work. So everyone, you owe somebody somewhere. You owe your employer service. You owe your children care. You owe your children to be the right example that they can follow. You owe your children responsibility. You have responsibility over the lives of your children. You owe your wife love and care. You owe your husband submission. You owe your parent obedience, hard work. If your parents are paying your school fee, you owe them hard work and success. You owe the younger ones who are around you and the right example. They are looking up to you. You owe them. You ought to be a model to them. You owe the Lord obedience. You owe the Lord loyalty. You owe the Lord commitment. All this here is what Paul called the continuing debt of loving one another. When you love your children, you care for them. When you love your children, you show them the right example. When you love others, if you are a leader, you actually owe the people God. You are a debtor to the people. The people expect you to look for God. Come and give them God. When you speak, they should know that God is giving, reaching out to them through you. If you are a leader and each time you come, all that the people get around you is worldliness, then you are not paying your debt of giving them God. But we also hear of Apostle Paul. In fact, the Apostle Paul also says he is a debtor to all men. If you open with us your Bible to Romans chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, you will see what Paul says. So there is a debt that we always owe people. It is a debt to love them. The book of Romans chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. I will read from what the King James Version says. Paul said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So he saw himself as a debtor. And what was that debt? He said, that is why I am eager to preach the gospel. So he saw his responsibility of preaching the gospel to all men as a debt. So every believer is a debtor. And we must, like Paul, be eager to pay our debt. Paul said, that is why I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are also at Rome. I am eager to preach. Every believer is a debtor. You owe the people around you the gospel. You owe the people in your institution the gospel. You owe the people in your family the gospel. You owe the people in your neighborhood the gospel. You owe all your friends the gospel. You are a debtor. So there is a debt that the word of God also advises us against. There is a debt that we continue to owe, but there is a debt that the word of God advises us against. And that is what we are trying to talk about here. The debt of owing people's money, the debt of owing people material possession. You borrowed from them. That is what we are trying to concentrate here. Not the other debt we have been talking about. So there is money you owe people. There is money you owe the lending institution. There is actually what you owe God. It may be money in tithe, money in offering. Let us see what the Bible says about this debt we are talking about in Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. So we are saying that there is a debt that we must never owe. There's a debt that we must label. We must make sure that no one on earth is able to say we owe them anything. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. So the one who borrows money is a slave. That's the debt we are talking about. It is a debt that makes you a slave. It is a debt that makes you, that somebody will begin to rule over your life. The borrower is a slave. The borrower is a slave. You borrow from here, borrow from here. You are actually enslaving yourself. So this debt we are talking about enslaves a person. And in Psalm 37, verse 21, let's open our Bible to Psalm 37. We are looking at what the Bible says concerning the debt, this debt we are talking about, which we are saying we ought to be free from. You cannot be a slave to men, and God will come to take possession of your heart. Psalm 37, verse 21. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Look at two groups of people, the wicked who borrow and they don't repay, and then the righteous who are always giving. You don't hear them borrowing. Righteous people are not people given to borrowing. With the wicked, they are always borrowing. They are always borrowing, but they don't repay. So the debt is normally a mark of an indisciplined life. It means that something has gone wrong in that person's relationship with God. That's what we are seeing here. They are always borrowing, always borrowing, always borrowing, always borrowing. But they don't repay. They never repay. It shows that something is wrong in a man's life. It is a mark of discontentment. It is a mark that says someone does not know what is called godliness with contentment. Debt is a mark of worldliness. Debt is saying you are trying to live above your means. Debt is actually saying you are trying to live the life of others. You are not living at your level. It is normally an indication that a man does not trust God, and therefore he takes the matters into his hand. He does not know how to trust God when he is going through difficulties to be able to look up to God, like the Apostle Paul said, "My God shall supply all your needs according to your riches by glory in Christ Jesus, not your wants." A debtor says, "God is too slow, and therefore I will go to lending institutions, I will turn to men, and I will borrow from here," and they actually go to enslave themselves. They don't know contentment. A debtor does not know rest. He does not know what it means to permit that, to go through that trial, and then God will take over and begin to give him one breakthrough after the other. the debtor always takes things into his hand to meet his needs. The wickedness of debtor is that they always consider that only their needs are urgent. They don't know that the person who lend money to them, they also have urgent need. That is the reason why they borrow and they don't repair. They always say, oh, new needs came. New things came. Oh, the school fee. They don't also know that the person who lend the money also has children they need to take care of. A debtor is a person who worships. He is ruled by his self-life. He's always thinking, he's self-centered, always thinking about himself. And the consequence of this is that they always push payment to the future. They always say, I will pay tomorrow, I will pay tomorrow, I will pay tomorrow. And as a result of that, they are accumulating more and more debt, more and more debt, more and more debt. And then the question is, if you end up dying like this prophet who died when he had not paid his debt, what may happen to your family? Even forget about what may happen to your family. I begin to wonder if you die when you have not yet paid your debt and you appear before God, the God who says, owe no man anything. Will you be able to tell God, God, I did not owe anybody anything? I wonder where your debt may take you to. That's why we are studying freedom from debt. So we have seen that the Bible warns us against debt. It makes you a slave. You are no longer a free person. Debts are dangerous. One can lose everything he has just because of loans he takes. You may take loans here, and there are many organizations that are going from home to home, office to office. They have notices all over telling you in 5 minutes' time, you can they can lend you a certain sum of money. You can have a loan, but the question is, in 5 minutes, what will you become? They are actually telling you, in 5 minutes' time, you can become a slave. People who come to you begging you to borrow from them, they are actually telling you they have come to beg you to become their slave, to become the slave of that bank. So in the case of the prophet above, it was his two sons. But in the case of the many people around, look at the people who have lost their houses. Some started building a house, building a story building, and they just needed some little sum of money in order to do the finishing. They went to the bank. Then shortly afterwards, there was a crisis, there was a problem. What they spent all their years saving to get, in a twinkle of an eye, they lose everything because they put it as surety to take money just to do the finishing. But just after that, something came. Debt destroys relationships. You are never the same when you have borrowed money from someone. From the moment someone borrowed money from another, something goes wrong in that relationship. Intimacy and respect is lost. And if the person just come to visit you, immediately you see him, you start thinking that maybe he has come for his money. Immediately he picks his phone, you see a number coming from him, you start thinking that he's calling to ask for his money. You become a slave. You become constantly in fear. People have borrowed from others in the same church, and finding that they could not pay, very soon they not only backslide, they actually leave the church and leave the body of Christ. I know many examples of people who borrowed money. Relationship became broken. Because they could not pay, they became guilty in their hearts. And they found it difficult to be with the same people in the same church. Each time they look at them, they are frightened in their heart, even though they are saying nothing to them. And finally, they abandon the church and they abandon Christ completely. So, debts are dangerous things. You can lose everything. You can lose your family. You can lose property that you inherited. You can even lose everything, everything, everything. They are dangerous. You can break your relationship with people. you can lose your relationship with God. That intimacy, when you become a slave to man, how can you truly be a servant of the Lord? Can a believer stand surety for someone to borrow? You may tell yourself, no, I will not be a debtor, but can you stand surety? In other words, can you stand as a guarantee for somebody to borrow money from a bank or to borrow from a lending institution? Let's look at what the Bible says. The Bible tells us in a number of places the danger of standing surety for someone to borrow money. Proverbs chapter 11. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 15. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 15. Whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer. But whoever refuses to shake hand in pledge is saved. So you put up security, you will suffer for it. It means that you go and stand as a guarantee. You are actually telling the people, telling that institution, if this person does not pay, I will pay. I know of someone that the lending institution had to come to their place to seize everything the person had. The person did not borrow money from the administration, but the person stood surety as a guarantee for somebody to borrow money. And because the person did not pay, they came and took away everything that the person had. So a believer does not stand surety. The Bible actually tells us not only that we should not stand surety, but that we should not put up security. In fact, the Bible tells us not even to put up security for debt, because we may lose everything that we have if we fail to pay. You may think that, oh, let me just put this piece of land. You may lose everything that you have. So we are saying that we should not stand for anyone who wants to borrow money. We should not also set out to put security and to borrow money, because we may lose everything that we have. In the book of Proverbs chapter 22, let's open our Bible to the book of Proverbs chapter 22. Verse 26 and 27. Do not be one who shakes hands in pledge or put up security for debt. Listen to what verse 27 says. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. He's saying that if you put security and you don't know whether you may be able to pay or not, and you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be taken away. The thing you value the most may be taken away. Most people who delay to pay or who fail to pay their debt, they really did not intend. They were overtaken by circumstances, and that may actually be your case. You may have had a very good business plan, or you saw a great opportunity ahead of you, and something told you, rush and get money. Rush and borrow money. You may get the money or the loan today, and then sickness may come tomorrow, or a misfortune may befall you tomorrow. Just think about what we are going through now. There are those who took loans from the bank or from friends because they had great opportunity. Their businesses were blossoming. They rushed to take loans in order to improve their businesses. But look at what has happened. The COVID 19 came, and for months now, they are not able to work. Interest in the bank rising, friends are looking up, rents rising all over. Then the question is, when will they even start? They don't know. It is only God who knows what tomorrow holds. The bank is demanding you interest. Your friends are looking up to you. So what will happen? Such a person may end up losing everything, what you had accumulated for many years. Had you just gone at your own pace, you would have saved the little you had. It is only God who knows tomorrow. I want us to look at the book of James chapter 4. The book of James chapter 4. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Everything may look so bright now. In the next 5 minutes, things may change. James, the book of James chapter 4. Now listen from verse 13. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this city or that, to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Yeah, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is God's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. You will say, I will go to this town. I will go here. Do this. Do this. You are planning, but you don't know what tomorrow may hold. You don't know what may happen tomorrow. So if you are strategizing, your life is turning around death, you may actually be strategizing to lose everything tomorrow. So debt and loans are dangerous. Don't be a debtor. Keep away from them. So we are actually saying it is dangerous to borrow. It is unscriptural to stand in for someone or put your possession as security, because what you have taken 50 years, and I know people who have taken years to accumulate, and then soon everything is gone. We want to answer a question: can a believer lend out money? Can a believer lend out money? We want to save clearly that the best thing for a believer to do is to help those in need and not to lend out money. Let's say it again. The best thing for a believer to do to rescue himself is help those in need and not lend out money. But the word of God, however, has not forbidden a believer from lending out money to those in need. He can do that on two conditions. We are going to look at the two conditions that can make a believer to lend out money. Number one, he should not charge interest. If a believer is lending out money, he should not charge interest. We are going to look at it in the Bible, both the New Testament and the Old Testament. The book of Exodus chapter 22. So if you are strategizing to be lending out money to your fellow believers to make interest, make profit out of it, the Bible tells us, do not do that. Exodus chapter 22, we look at verse 25. If you lend money to one of my people among you who is needy, do not treat it like business deal. Charge no interest. So there's a condition that here, he says, if you do it to one of my people who is needy, say, don't do it like business. Don't charge interest. So if you are lending, the Bible is clear, don't charge interest. Don't be like a money lender. And again, in Deuteronomy chapter 23, we'll look at it again, verse 19 and 20.
Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 19 and 20. So we are saying you can only do on condition that you cannot charge any interest. Do not charge a fellow Israelite interest, whether on money or food or anything else that may earn interest. You may charge a foreigner, but not a fellow Israelite, so that the Lord your God may bless you in everything you put your hand on to do in the land you are entering to possess. So we have seen that the first condition is that you cannot make it as a business to be getting interest from believers. Let's look at what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said in the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 42. Matthew chapter 5. He said, give to the one who asks, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. That's what Jesus said. But we have said, you can do it, but you cannot charge interest. That's the first condition. The second condition is that you can do it, but you should not expect repayment. In other words, you should be ready that the money you have given out, if the person does not pay back, you have no problem. But if you are not ready, then you cannot enter into giving money out. You should be ready to lose the money. And secondly, lose the money, but not lose the person to whom you lend out the money. From the moment you give out money to someone, you become the custodian to ensure that that person remains in the faith. You become the custodian to make sure that if the person is running away, you run after him to go and beg him to come, even if you have to lose all that you gave to the person. We are going to look at it again in the book of Luke chapter 6. The book of Luke chapter 6, verse 34 to 36. The book of Luke chapter 6. What does the Bible say? It says, and if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. So you lend, but you expect no repayment. If you are lending and expecting, you want to lend and expect repayment, then you don't qualify to lend money to anybody. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. That's what Jesus said. So, answering the question, can a believer lend? Yes, out. He should lend, expecting not to get it back. But if the person comes and gives you back, fine. But if he does not come and give it back to you, you don't take him to court. You don't begin to have a problem because you knew what you were entering into. So be ready, number one, to forgo all that you have given out. And from the word go, you expect no interest. So a believer can lend money out, but it is an abnormality. That's not the perfect will of God. But Jesus talked about it. The Old Testament talked about it. You don't harden your heart to a needy person, but do it knowing that you have lost it. And if it does happen that the person brings it back, then you only thank God. And if the person is running away because of that money, you run and beg him and then let him come, keep the money so that you rescue his soul. So debt is bad. And the goal of our sharing is to help us so that we can know freedom from debt. How can a person know freedom from debt? Number one, you need a change of your mindset. It is an attitude. A person's mind needs to change so that the slightest problem, you don't start rushing all over the place looking for money to borrow. You should acknowledge that
being in debt is an abnormality. It is not God's perfect will for your life. God does not want you to be in debt. You cannot know freedom from what you have not acknowledged that it is an abnormality. So the first thing is a change of your mindset. Acknowledging that debt is an abnormality. Number two, repent of your tendency to always rush for loans at the slightest difficulties. Ask God to forgive you for the lack of faith in Him and the lack of patience to wait on God so that God can step in and rescue you. God may permit you to go through trials to build your faith, to test your faith. But if you are the one who the slightest thing, you always rush to go and borrow money from all over the place, how will you build your faith? Repent of your impatience. Repent of that tendency in your life. Number three, if you want to know freedom from debt, commit yourself to wait on God and to look up to Him when you encounter hardships. A change of your mind, repentance, and a commitment that when you are going through difficulty, you will not take things into your hands. Lending institution will not become your God. Number four, repent of the indiscipline in your financial life. A person who is constantly giving to borrowing money is actually declaring that God is not meeting his need. That's a false testimony. Most of the time it is because of indiscipline in your financial life and the indiscipline that makes you to spend what you do not have. Number five, repent of all debts in your life in the presence. Repent of each of them. Who do you owe what? Repent one by one. Acknowledge all the money you owe people. All that you owe people. Repent before God one by one. And get in touch with the people and remind them. Even if it has taken 50 years, remind them, I owe you this. I am sorry because I have delayed payment. And the delay of payment is not normally because you lacked. It is because you did not prioritize the pay of the person's money. Repent to the person and commit yourself that you are going to pay and give the person a timetable and begin to pay. Number six, repent of your worldliness. Because to be in debt is worldliness. And beg God to give you a heart that knows contentment. The Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So repent of your lack of contentment, which is worldliness. And beg God that you'll be contented with the little that you have. And then commit yourself before God that you will no longer live above your means. No longer living above your means. That you will use the little you have. Use the little you have. Then decide that you will not be comparing yourself with people. That is what worldliness is. You want to live the life that others are living, but you don't know their means, and you may not even know their own relationship with God. Number seven, repent of any unfaithfulness in your financial dealings with God. Most of the time, those who are always in debt, it is because they broke the financial laws of God. You ought to have been giving to God, and likely that which was God's part, which was God's money, you used it in a business, and the Bible says you became cursed. You did not bring the whole tithe. You did not bring that offering. And what finally happened to you? The devourer, the pest, the locust, the ant, they came and ate everything that you had. Because you did not keep the financial laws of God, the money that entered your hand, problem also entered. So commit yourself that you will give to God. You will obey the financial laws of God. Give to God always when you have, even if you have challenges in your finances. He is the source of your blessings. Don't break your relationship with the only person who is supposed to bless you. If you are looking for wealth, he is the source of wealth. And that's why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added. So put your relationship, financial life, right. Your relationship with God in the financial realm, right. Because God is the one who will bless you. Number 8, decide to honor God with all your wealth. In other words, give priority to God and give sacrificially to God. We are going to look at it in the Bible. Just open with us to Proverbs chapter 3. The book of Proverbs chapter 3. So we are saying, give priority to God. Honor God. If you honor God, God will take over. The book of Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vat will overflow, will brim over with new wine. If you honor God with your wealth, then God will honor you. God will bless you. God will release his abundance upon your life. Instead of always borrowing, you will be the one giving out. That is actually the portion, the blessing of God that has come. God has promised his children that instead of borrowing, they will lend out to nations. Number 9, cultivate the life of gratitude to God in every small thing. Always be grateful to God. The little you have, thank God. Instead of always complaining, always grumbling, other people are having, I don't have. Cultivate the life of gratitude. He who offers praise to God glorifies God and opens the way for God to show him his salvation. What the little God gives to you, thank God. That gratitude going up to God will move the heart of God to bless you more and more. Those who have the habit of always complaining, they have decided to know financial desert. There will always be people who are in lack. Set out to live a life of debt free at all times. Know that God may call you home anytime. Just tell yourself that you will not be called home by God when you owe anybody. Just tell yourself that on the day that God calls you home, there will be nobody crying somewhere or maybe asking God to give you one more day so that you will pay his money. Tell yourself you will live a debt-free life. And for that to happen, you need to know that God does not want you to be in debt. For that to happen, you need to know that sometime when you are going through difficulties, it is God permitting it in order for you to build your faith. You need to know that from the moment you set out to always borrow, you become addicted to debt and you may never come out of it. You need to set out to come out of debt. And you need to know by living in debt, you break your relationship with God and you become a slave to others. Meanwhile, God wants you to be his lover, to be his servant, because you cannot be a slave of men and also a servant of God. Just tell yourself, I will live such a life that even if God were to call me now in the nation where I am, in the town where I am, to send me somewhere to go and serve him, there will be nobody who will be saying, why are you going to pay my money before you go? Don't be a slave of men. Set out to know a debt-free life. That is one of the pathways to revival. May the Lord bless you as you set out to ensure that you owe no man anything, but set out to pay your debt of love. God bless you.